Well, hey, let me welcome you if you're a visitor guest. My name is Tom. Just a privilege to have you here with us. Those that came for maybe a loved one who got baptized, so honored that you were here with us as well. I want to welcome in those of you who will be seeing this on the north side of the street as well. Just say welcome as we jump into our series that we've been in called God Never Said That. If you are going to begin or grow a relationship with God, you need to clearly understand what God has said and also understand what God has never said. Because there are some phrases and some thoughts and some ideas that are floating around sometimes that if you think God said that, you'll become disappointed whenever he doesn't deliver on something he never promised anyways. Let me ask you, have you ever heard someone say something like this? Well, God always works quickly. You ever heard that? Me neither. I've never heard that. We don't say it, but many of us feel frustrated with the pace of God's work in our life. It's an unstated belief buried in our hearts. It sounds like this: I've been praying about this for a long time. I'm just so tired of waiting. Maybe you've heard somebody say that. Or why is God taking so long? Or why doesn't he hurry this process up? Or it doesn't really feel like he's doing anything at all. I mean, I can't see it happening right in front of me. And so where is God? And what is God doing? You ever felt like that? I know I have. I know many of you have as well. We're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, we thank you that you are the God of hope. Not just any hope, but the hope that you are the God who delivers on what he says. You said that you would send a Messiah, and you have. And you have sent him so that we might know you and have no illusions about who you are. And so God, as we come now to your word, as we look at what Jesus said in one of his parables, I pray that you would speak to each of us, that you would clarify for us what you are like and what this thing called the kingdom of God is like. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and grab your bulletin that hopefully you got on the way in. And if you flip it open to this little center section, you're going to see the teaching notes that are there, as well as the scriptures that are there for us to dig into together today. Well, a little confession time from me. I am an impatient person. Anybody else impatient here? A few of you are impatient, okay? I don't like delays at all. Matter of fact, when I take this test that's out called StrengthsFinder, if you've ever heard of it, they call me an activator. That's what they call impatient people. They rename it and rebrand it and make it positive and make it a strength. It's called an activator. Little confession time, just to see if maybe you're a little impatient as well. How many of you, whenever you are at the grocery store and the person in front of you pulls out a check to pay for their groceries, how many of you are like, I'll just pay for it. I'll just, here, just take my credit card. Let's just move the process along, right? How many of you, you've been traveling somewhere and you're at your gate and the announcement comes on and says, there's been a little delay, your flight has been delayed for an hour. And instead of you thinking, oh, I'm so grateful they're working on that mechanical problem before we get in the air, you think, I can't believe this is happening to me, right? You feel your blood pressure rise. We live in a culture that likes instant. We like instant popcorn, we like instant oatmeal, and we like Instagram, right? If it was called Wait-a-gram or Be Patient-a-gram, we wouldn't use it. None of us would use it. We prefer instant. And we can bring that preference and expectation to a relationship with God. But God's word paints a different picture about how he works. Listen to the words of Jesus. They're there for you. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, he says this. Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk and then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. The fruit for God's kingdom grows in soil that is hospitable to his word. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head goes against the popular expectation at the time whenever Jesus was teaching, because they believed that God's kingdom would come all at once, all of the sudden. Jesus is saying that the rule of God, it starts small, it grows slowly, but steadily, in the midst of adversity, over time, in due process, it reaches its glorious culmination at the point of the second coming of Jesus. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin said this. He said, "Above all, trust the slow work of God. We are quite impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages." Think about you and your life. Think about the growth that you want to have happen in your life. Do you want to skip the intermediate stages? Think about how weird that would be if you wanted to skip the intermediate stages when you thought about maybe a niece or a nephew or a child. I've got three children. Imagine if you skipped the stages. When you were an infant, you look nothing like you do right now. You look nothing like you do right now. Frankly, I think my mother is grateful that there was a process involved, that I didn't come out of the womb as a 5'9", 185 individual, right? There's a process of growth involved. And yet, if someone stood over an infant and said to them, "You need to hurry up and grow. Why aren't you growing? I don't see any immediate physical growth," they would be frustrated because there would be no easy way to see the growth that was happening from one day to the next. They might even say, "I don't even think they're growing because I can't see it. It's not happening." Some things you can only see over the long haul. And it's the same with the kingdom of God. I can't see my kids growing from one day to the next, but can I see them growing from 1 year to the next, 1 decade to the next? Of course I can. Sometimes I need the lens of time to be able to see clearly the work of God in my life. It gives me hope whenever I look back and I see those seasons when I felt like God wasn't doing anything, but looking backwards, I could see God doing all sorts of stuff that I couldn't see in that moment at that time. It gives me hope then to take that faith of what I've seen him do when I'm looking backwards, to apply that to the present areas of my life where I'm waiting for God to be at work. I'm waiting on God, trusting that God is at work, even though I might not be able to immediately see that happening. In fact, God's word is constantly filled with the reality that we are called to wait on God. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Jude 21 says, "Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." God's timing is not always on our timetable. To trust in God means, in part, to trust on his timing. God never said that we're to figure out exactly why we have to wait. He just told us to trust as we do wait, to just take heart, to don't get discouraged in the season of waiting. Because just because you are waiting doesn't mean God's not working. And some of you need to hear that. You need to hear that just because you're in a season of waiting in your life doesn't mean that God is not at work. Looking back, you can often see God at work while you waited. But even more than that, what we can often see is not only God at work kind of out there somewhere, but God at work in me, in you, while you waited. A deeper level of trust was being grown. God changes caterpillars to butterflies. He changes sand to pearls. He changes coal into diamonds by using time and pressure. Time and pressure. That's also how he turns doubters into disciples, warriors into worshipers, and sinners into saints. Time and pressure and waiting. So what do we do when we wait? Well, we don't just sit back and wait. We pray, and then we obey. Because if you're praying about it, then God is working on it. Unless God has specifically told you no, as you pray, God is at work. That doesn't mean that if you pray today, you'll see the answer by the end of the day. But it does mean that God is at work. We pray and obey, doing our part, and then we wait for the slow work of God to unfold. In Jesus' parable that we read, the farmer did his part. He scattered the seed on good soil. He didn't throw it on the shallow soil, the rocky soil, or the soil with the thorns that would choke out the seed. He threw it on the good soil, but then the rest was up to the slow work of God. God never said that he would always work quickly. And so when we get disappointed with God because of the pace of his work, he comes and says, I never told you that it would be quickly. But here's what he does say in his word in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There is a season in our life of sowing and then of waiting and then of harvesting, but we must not give up. For those of you who might feel like, man, I'm right where I feel like I'm gonna give up, I wanna encourage you, you're not to the place where you're to give up. You're just in a season of waiting and praying, asking God to be at work, and asking God to show you the slow work of God. One of the ways that I can see the long, slow, good work of God is through our ministry called Kids Hope. This weekend is a Kingdom weekend, but rather than just having a 10-minute kind of update, I decided that we would just take the whole weekend to celebrate God's good work over the last 10 years, because it is significant work that God has been doing among us. About 11 years ago, a few of us had been praying, asking God to give us a way to love our neighbors together and relationally. I mean, we had gone out and done projects, and those are good and important, but we were specifically saying, God, would you help us do this in a relational manner that is consistent? Around that time, Sarah Dornbos came to see me, and she was feeling stirred to a new season in her life. And so we sat and we talked, and that initial conversation led to an entire year of praying and mentoring, just trying to figure out what God was up to. It was like, we don't know, but we're trying to see what he might want to do. 10 years ago, we launched Kids Hope, which is one of our answers on how to love our neighbors well by investing 1 hour a week in the life of an at-risk child in our local public elementary school. Over the past 10 years, I have gotten to be on the front row to see the slow work of God unfold. So I wanted you all to hear the stories that I already know, because many of you have been part of them, but maybe haven't heard the breadth of these stories of the slow work of God over the last 10 years through Kids Hope. So could you welcome Sarah Dornbos as she comes up here to share with us for a little bit? Well, Sarah, welcome. What a joy it's been to watch God's work, not only through you, but in you. I mean, he's really done some fabulous stuff in you, as then you've walked and led us together as a community into this thing called Kids Hope. So I'm so proud of what God has done. So tell us how you've seen God slowly at work over the last decade of Kids Hope.
Well, it has been so beautiful, and I'm so proud of our community. About 8 years ago, I interviewed a pilot who decided he wanted to be a mentor, and in the interview, he said to me, you know, Sarah, if I make a 1-degree navigation error on landing, we'll still hit the runway. It'll be bumpy, but we'll make it. But if I make a 1-degree navigation error on takeoff, we may not land in the same state or even country. Mm. And he said, these kids are in the takeoff years of their life. Yeah. Where 1 hour once a week feels like 1 degree, no big deal. And yet it will drastically impact the trajectory of their lives. And so I thought a really good place to begin would be 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, the youngest kids in our program, we were 4 second graders. Their names were Megan, Alejandro, Gunnar, and Fernanda. You can see their pictures up there. And what I'm so excited to report is all 4 of them are slated to graduate from high school in June this year. That defies the 50% attrition rate within our own community. And Gunnar's gonna go on to trade school. Fernanda's gonna be majoring in she's majoring in communications. Alejandro is going to go into criminal justice. He's also playing football at the college that he's attending. And Megan is studying journalism. So it's really exciting to see these kids achieve that in spite of the beginnings that they had in their lives. So we're so grateful. Many factors contributed to that, but I'm sure Kids Hope is one of them, and they will say that as well. And what's interesting is the research says that if a child has a positive experience in school early on, they're likely to stay in school for the long haul. And so I'm grateful for those mentors that were willing to stay with those kids for those first 5 years of their elementary.
Love it. And I love seeing the pictures of those first four kids. One of the things I love about Kids Hope is it is a manageable investment. It's 1 hour a week that you're with a student, but it doesn't have to just stay there. Some of the stories have gone beyond that 1 hour a week. Of course, it doesn't have to, but they have. So tell us maybe a few stories of how that 1 hour a week has formed relationships that have gone beyond that hour.
Sure. Well, that's always such a surprise to me. We wanted to circle back to a couple of kids that we had featured when they were currently in the program and give you some updates on them now. So Richard and Danny were matched together when Danny was a third grader. He told his mom that Richard had a scary mustache. And if you were here at CA when we showed the video, in that video, Richard asked Danny to be a groomsman in his wedding. Mm. And now Danny is in ninth grade. His brother and sister are both in our Kids Hope program currently. And Richard is about to be a dad. And so what's crazy cool about these guys is that both of them are growing up without dads. And in February, I got a text message out of the blue from Richard. And all it said was, "I thought you should know that today I taught Danny how to shave." And I think, you know, it took many years. This is the slow work of God knitting these two lives and hearts together. But we can see the redemption of these two fatherless boys through that story and the slow work of God, can't we? Another mentor that we mentioned several years ago is Kit Durkee and her mentee Raquel. They were together for 6 years, and Raquel's now a 10th grader. Kit lives in Oregon, but they still manage to see each other several times a year. Kit was down for the women's retreat, and she sent me a message that I just wanted to share with you guys. She said, "Raquel is doing amazing. She's in 10th grade now and plays the violin in the high school band, and she is on the cheer team." Now, what you don't know is that Raquel wouldn't speak to her mentor for the first four sessions. She was so shy. Mm. And she is a cheerleader, you guys. She is also in honors English and manages to keep her grades up while playing the violin in the band and cheering and dancing at basketball and football games. I come down several times a year, and we always get together. She takes violin lessons when she needs help with difficult music, and I am happy to continue sponsoring that. She hasn't come up here yet, but my plan is to have her come after graduation in a couple of years. Her parents are still pretty protective of her. She is so happy and loves getting to do all the extras that band and cheer require. She is not the same girl I met 10 years ago. She is a confident, outgoing, and happy young lady. God is good." And then Kit sent me the photo on the right and with this caption. She said, "Raquel never used to smile showing her teeth unless I asked her to. Mm. Now it just comes naturally."
Oh, that's so great.
And what I want to point out is that these stories would be true even if we didn't know them. They would still be happening. And often when we're waiting on God and He is at work, sometimes we move on before the story is over. But that doesn't mean God isn't working. It takes a long time to see the fruit of our investment. Mm.
That's great. Sarah, tell us the other day we were in a conversation. You were telling me the story of the little girl who's selectively mute. And then she had come into the Kids Hope mentoring process. Tell us about that story.
Sure. So she's actually been in our program for 7 years. And for the first 4 years, she did not speak to anyone at school except for her mentor. She spoke at home to her family, but once she got to school, she just couldn't bridge into speaking. And so her mentor was amazing. I don't know if you could imagine being a mentor, leaving your busy job, going to the school, and hardly having this little girl speak to you. But she did that for years. And actually, in first grade, this little girl was held back because they couldn't assess her reading ability and to see if she was progressing. And so the mentor actually started recording the sessions with the girl's permission. Then they both would walk over to her teacher and show the teacher the video of her reading so that they could promote her to second grade. Mm. So now we're in our seventh year with this little one, and I'm so happy to report that this year in fifth grade, she's speaking to her peers and her teacher for the first time.
I love that.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. I love that you have a person who just believes in the slow work of God and is willing to keep being there and keep coming and keep sacrificing time for what God is going to do over the long run. Sarah, tell us a little bit about some of the current students who are in Kids Hope right now.
Well, this is so fun. We have such amazing students, but one of them is Angelo. He started as a kindergartner 6 years ago, and his entire family is deaf, so he's the only hearing member of his family. So he was referred to us as a kinder because he was very loud and needed to learn just how you speak at a normal volume. And his mentor was awesome, and he actually came to Vacation Bible School when he was in second grade and made a first time commitment to Christ right here in our park. And then he invited his family to come. And so his prayer partner was actually one of the members of our deaf community and extended the invitation to Angelo's parents. So they started coming to 1115 North. Angelo enrolled in our 345 program. And it's just been really fun watching him be a regular part of our church community. He actually ended up moving a few weeks ago to a different school, but it's been amazing to watch God disciple him and for his contagious love of Jesus to be seen. During our 10 years, we have had over 30 students make first-time commitments to Jesus as they've participated in some of our church programs. So at the school, we're under the separation of church and state. We don't pray with the kids. We don't evangelize there. But we do build relationship, and we do invite them to come to CA for Christmas and Easter and camps and Vacation Bible School. And I see the strength of our kids' church and our student ministries programs all the time and the way they help families make that connection and cross that bridge from our school community to our church community. And this doesn't just happen because it's a good idea. It happens because people sitting in this sanctuary believed in God's command to love our neighbor and then left this building. And they kept showing up at that school week after week after week for the entire school year. And one of the hardest things about God not working quickly, I think, is the faith and the perseverance it requires to keep trusting that he's at work, especially when you don't see the fruit. I think in many ways, waiting on God is almost as simple as just not giving up. If it hasn't happened, the story is not over. And hundreds of lives in Eagle Rock are different because people believed that. As Tom mentioned, the Jesuit priest Teilhard de Chardin says, trust in the slow work of God. Trust, stay, wait, show up. These are the fruits of a mature discipleship. And some of our stories aren't huge, groundbreaking stories, but there's a story of Bruce. He's a mentor and has been with the same child for 4 years. Every time we have an event or a break in the school calendar, Bruce texts the family and offers to get together, and they never responded to his text for 4 years until this spring break. And this family was a little bit skeptical of the church partnership, but because Bruce's perseverance, Bruce continued to offer a relationship, they were willing to go out to lunch with Bruce and his wife and had a wonderful connection point. And I just think that is someone who didn't give up. And we wouldn't blame him if he did, but he continued to extend that offer of relationship. Another mentor, she has a little girl that she waited 3 years to give her first hug to. The little girl just had a lot of issues with trust, and understandably so. The mentor gave her lots of space, but just kept proving herself faithful. And after 3 years, the little girl initiated a hug, the mentor reciprocated, and that is the slow healing work in the life of a little girl who's learning to regain some agency over her body. And the hard thing about the slow work of God is that we have to trust, and we don't always get to see what we hope for in the timing that we hope for. One of the things I loved about our Fusion community is that we actually got to see some of what God was doing. We often assume that we know that God is at work, but it's so nice when we get to see the visual evidence of that. So what happened was our Fusion community came and painted our playground. So what had been asphalt and brown buildings is now full of color and life and green spaces. And to me, it shows not only the spiritual transformation, but it makes it a visual transformation of what's happening on a spiritual level on our campus. The other small examples I have, there's a little girl who had crooked teeth and refused to smile for photographs or show her teeth at all at school. And we found out an orthodontist in Highland Park was giving away grants for low-income families. So we helped her family fill out the paperwork. The mom was Spanish-speaking, so a Spanish-speaking volunteer from our community helped her fill it out. And she now can't stop smiling. She's confident. She's just radiant and so beautiful. And in Isaiah 45:2, it says, God is making the crooked things straight. And it is not just teeth in our community that he's making straight. It is actual lives that he's making straight by our continued investment and commitment. We have a ninth grader that stopped by this year, and I love it when former students stop by. It's always the most random kids. And she was saying that she's taking an AP Spanish class and a tough biology class, and that she's in the drama club. And then she reminded me, she said, you know, Sarah, my mentor helped me memorize my first poem that I had to say in front of my classmates, and I was so nervous. And she's like, but now I'm in the drama club and taking drama as my elective. Another student said that her mentor used to give her a little stuffed animal each year that would help them study while they were together, her study buddy. And then at the end of the year, she got to take those home, and she came by our classroom. She's a 10th grader, and she said, you know, Sarah, I still have all those stuffed animals, and on hard days, I pull them out from under a box in my bed, and I talk to them, and I tell them how I'm feeling. And then she said, and sometimes I even text my mentor after that. So all these things that we had no idea were happening are things that these kids remember and talk about. But it's not just the kids' lives that are impacted. And it's been really fun at our 10-year mark. I emailed some of our previous volunteers and just said, hey, how did Kids Hope impact you now that you're no longer serving with us? And four of our mentors wrote back and said they changed their majors in college to work with students. Two of them went to become teachers, and two of them changed to become social workers. And then two of our adult mentors wrote back and said they made midlife career changes to work with kids in foster care after learning not to be afraid of the kids that they had mentored. So it's really amazing to try, and we can't really quantify those changes. But these stories are just the tip of the iceberg, the small moments that God has pulled back the curtain in the kingdom advancing in our community and let us just glimpse how he is using us to change the lives and mentors and students. I'm so grateful that hope is written into our name. Romans 8:24 says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Waiting, like Tom said, is not something most of us enjoy, but it is so critical to the kingdom advancing. And hope also is a tricky thing because it requires that we keep showing up in the absence of proof that our time and investment is leading to the outcome we desire. But we show up in faith and hope anyway in the midst of the uncertainty and often discover that God is there. We have a little kindergartner who says, I can't know, instead of I don't know. So when his mentor's like, what's 2 + 2? He's like, I can't know. But I actually think that he's speaking of a much deeper reality because we can't know how God is at work in our lives, and we can't know the full investment of our involvement at the church. We know some of it, but we can't know. And the fact that we have stayed the course and are still on campus after 10 years gives us the opportunities to see these stories begin to emerge. Just like an apple seed doesn't start bearing fruit as soon as you plant it in the ground, it takes 8 to 10 years for the roots and the tree to grow in order for fruit to be produced. I think God is using our program in the same way, and we're just beginning to learn about how Kids Hope is impacting Eagle Rock. So we're in need of some seed planters. And if you feel like God is stirring your heart to be part of this ministry, we need mentors, we need prayer partners, we need nurses and super subs, and the list is in your bulletin. We actually have a table out in the lobby, so if you would stop by there and fill out a sign-up card, doesn't obligate you to being on our team, but it starts a process of mutual discernment. So we would love to have you think about joining us. And I think if your heart is stirred, just remember how much God is at work in the unseen things. It is hard to wait. God doesn't work quickly, and yet God is at work. And I am so grateful that our community has believed in that and invested in that at Eagle Rock Elementary for the last 10 years.
Sarah, tell us, before we come to a close, tell us, we've started this Kids Hope, but then God has used this Kids Hope to help plant some seeds for other kids' hopes sure. to happen. So tell us a little bit just about that.
Yeah, so we were the first program here in Los Angeles 10 years ago, and now there are 10 programs in LA. So these stories that you've heard tonight, think about 10 other churches telling their own stories about how kids' lives are being changed and how mentors' lives are being changed. So it's been so humbling and amazing to watch God capture the heart of other churches in LA to say, we want to love our neighbors in this tangible way also.
And Sarah, tell us just in a sense of scope, I mean, how many kids are we talking at Eagle Rock Elementary that our mentors would be mentoring?
So we had 70 mentors mentoring 70 kids this year. You'll see in our video, there's over 600 kids that we've mentored in the 10 years. So
that's great. Yeah. Now, what I want you to hear, if you are part of CA and you give to that blue bucket offering that happens, once a month, Kids Hope is one of the main places that we're investing that money. And so that is happening. A number of years ago, Sarah came and she was like, look, our program is, grown a lot. What can we do to keep expanding the kingdom of God? And we actually rewrote Sarah's job description to free up a little bit of time for her to go and talk to other churches. And then, so when she says 10 other programs have started, she makes it sound like she didn't have a part in that. But actually, they wouldn't have started without Sarah being the one talking to those churches and helping those churches connect with their local elementary school. And so thank you for your generosity and thank you for your prayers, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do all that God is doing. And we wouldn't then also be able to be used by God to help germinate that into other programs around the Southern California area. Well, Sarah, we just want to say thank you to you. So could you thank Sarah and just kind of thank you? Stay up here, sis. Stay up here. Well, Sarah, we want to pray for you. So if you would extend your hand out and as we pray for Sarah, Lord, we thank you for her. And she does this work as a leader among us, but she doesn't do this work alone. And so, Sarah, I want you to hear that we're with you. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts and our prayers, our generosity of time and finances and investment into kids' lives, Lord. We pray for spiritual protection over Sarah, Lord. We pray for spiritual protection over our schools, Lord. It seems every week there's another headline. So we pray protection over our schools. Lord, over the lives of all of those kids that have come through Kids Hope. Lord, thank you for leading us into this. We didn't have any idea what we were doing. We were just kind of making it up as we went. But thank you, Lord, that you were our great helper as we went. Lord, thank you for giving us the heart to love our neighbors as you have loved us. Lord, we thank you for every kid, every child, every family that has been impacted. And we pray for Sarah. In Jesus' name, amen. Sarah, on behalf of, you can applaud one more time. Yep. On behalf of CA and the elders of the church, we just want to give you a little gift to say thank you for all of your time, effort, and energy pouring out into the lives of our neighbors and helping us do that well. You can open that later, but just want to say thank you.
Thank
Love you,
you
sis. Isn't it amazing what God is doing? Isn't it amazing how God is at work? One of the things I love, a number of months ago, we had the principal of Eagle Rock Elementary School, and she came so graciously, and she said, you know, at our school, Tom, your church is known as a wave of love. That's what she said. You're known as a wave of love. And when she said it, I could hear the words of Jesus. They will know that you are my disciples by your love, by your love. Love isn't just a feeling. Love is a commitment, a decision to take an action step. Love is a decision to say, I'm not just going to be stuck in a moment, but I'm going to say yes to you, Jesus. Now, I don't know how God is inviting you to respond. It might be that he wants you to begin to pray in a way that you haven't before, or give to the offering that will come by before the end of the service. It might be that you are to step out and be one of the super subs, or be on the event planning team, or be one of the mentors, or the list goes on. It might be that you are actually a pastor of a church, because we have pastors of churches that come through. And you might be wondering, well, could that happen in my neighborhood? You might have a brother that goes to another church in this city, and you might be the one that needs to make the phone call to tell your brother to talk to their pastor, to get their pastor to have a meeting with us, so that God's kingdom can move forward in a slow but good and fruitful way in their neighborhood. Will you pray with me? I want you to just take a look back over your life for a moment. Where can you see the slow work of God? Maybe over the last year, maybe over the last decade. Where do we just need to pause and say, God, I thank you for the slow work of God that you have been doing in my life. Thank you. Maybe you used to struggle with things and sins that you thought would define your whole life, and now you realize that they don't. Maybe you once were an addict and now you're not. Maybe you once were not a follower of Jesus and now you are. Maybe you once were arrogant all the time and now you sense a spirit of humility. Maybe your life was always only about you and now you can see the slow work of God helping you follow him into the lives of loving others and loving your neighbor. Thank God for that. And for those of you that are in just a season of waiting, as you look back over your life and you thank God for the slow work of God, sometimes we need the lens of time to see the slow work of God. But then as you see that, as you can articulate that to yourself right now, as you can say, I saw God work slowly in this area over several years in my life, as you see that, take that now and apply that to the area that you're waiting for, that you're not certain God's at work, that you're praying, but you're not seeing the green shoots push up through. You haven't seen the stalk rise through the ground yet. It hasn't gotten to a full kernel of a head, as Jesus says. And say, God, I'm waiting for you. And I trust your timing as I wait. Lord, we thank you for Kids Hope. We thank you that you have done this. This is not something that I could have done or Sarah could have done. This is something that can only happen through the work of your Spirit. I remember, Lord, when I had people coming to me saying, this will never work, and LAUSD will never allow this. And yet the slow work of God kept moving forward. And now some of the biggest fans of this work are the leaders of LAUSD. God, we ask, would you continue to move forward the church into love, to love the most marginalized, at risk in our neighborhood, in every neighborhood in LA. God, there are 10 programs now. Lord, would there be a day when there could be 100? Would there be 100 churches, Lord, that you would stir and raise up to step out and love the most at-risk kids? We're asking, we're praying that you would do that. Show us our part in it.